Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to the Dr. Deborah and Therapist Kelly Show, only on LA Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome. I'm Dr. Deborah.
Hi, it's Therapist Kelly.
Kelly, the week just flew by. I can't believe it's been an entire week.
It's so weird. I feel like every time I come in here, it's like Groundhog Day, but like so much has happened. You know what I mean?
You look so adorable today. Oh. Listeners, if you could just see Kelly, she's just shining.
Oh,
she's so delicious.
You're so cute. We took some pictures today. We took some photos. So
that we could put up some new photos of us and our show on our website.
So, yeah,
which is, by
up.
The way, docandtherapist.com. Exactly. So go check us out at docandtherapist.com.
So, you know what's so funny? I was thinking about our guest from last week. We had Dr. Mark Goulston. He's the author of Talking to Crazy. And it's so counterintuitive. What he was talking about was basically dealing with not mentally crazy people, but just crazy people.
And we've all had those. Difficult people.
Exactly.
Yeah, I love the concept of leaning in.
That's what he was saying.
As opposed to resisting the energy of somebody who's difficult. Lean into it.
But that's what I'm saying. It's counterintuitive because you almost want to like run the opposite way when you have a difficult person. You're like, But he was basically saying like how incredible that is to just sort of go in and, you know, the conflicts are a little bit easier because then they feel empowered and not, I don't know.
I practiced that this week, actually, encountering a couple of difficult people out there in the world.
It worked?
Just finding that, you know, that like when we talked last time about the dog, you know, with you walking the dog and the person getting upset. And I was thinking about that more and going, you know what? You know, when you take the perspective of somebody else, so many times when people, they really do feel righteous in their upset.
Yes.
Because in their mind, what just occurred was a violation or a difficulty or something. You know, not just with your example, but countless examples out there. And so I was really trying to practice that this week, that really sincere, compassionate, empathetic, what must this person be experiencing right now?
Yes.
And assuming that, there was another author we had on a while back who said, assume that people are doing the best they can at any given moment. I think that's just such a great premise to start from.
Really, because it's so true. I think we assume that there's malintent when people are, you know, but really everybody's just trying to do the best that they can.
Yeah. I always say assume either positive or neutral intentions unless otherwise noted.
Oh,
right? If
like
you're in an all-out brawling fight with somebody, you're probably not having your back at that moment.
No, exactly. It's
but
so
most
true.
Of the time, people are sort of innocently walking around the world, sort of just doing their own thing, not really cognizant of how they're impacting everybody else.
It is so true. And also with kids, I can say, I love this. Somebody told me this one time. When your kid has a tantrum, he or she is probably more frustrated than you. And I never thought about it like that.
That's awesome.
I'm like, is that really possible? Because I'm pretty much at a 10. So,
And also to remember with kids, and this is a great segue into our guest today, is that they don't have the emotional maturity yet. They don't have the self-regulation internally. They don't have any of those resources or skills. So when mom or dad demonstrates these high levels of frustration, they're actually not encouraging the child to learn about how to manage frustration. So it's so important for us to do that. But oh my gosh, poor Kelly, how are your kids?
I think I see a light at the end of the tunnel.
Yes.
And I'm always scared to say that. My husband's always like, no, you're going to jinx it. But I think we can breathe slightly, although I don't know. We'll see. I mean,
we've
still
got both calming down a tiny bit?
Yeah, they're both calming down a little bit. Remember the psychic one time? She had said, I'm like, how long will it be till I can really breathe? And she's like, like teenage years?
Yeah,
and now I'm like, oh,
later.
My God. So, but no, I think it's, I mean, you know, it's better. It's better.
Yay.
Like, I mean, every day it's slightly better. So that's the good news. Yeah.
Oh, and I have great news to report. I'm so proud of my daughter.
Tell
Tiffany
me.
Just informed me this morning she got 100% on her Ayurvedics final. So she finished the first year, and now she's going to start her practitioner experience
an
internship.
Incredible.
So she got 100%. I was so proud of her.
That's amazing. How many years is that school?
It's a full 2-year program if you do the level that she's doing.
Sure.
You can do smaller sections and just get certified in certain things, but she's getting the whole plethora of stuff.
I want to be her guinea pig. I probably told you this.
She would love that.
I'm 100% serious. She can poke, prod, whatever she needs to
with me. Let's take a trip up to Grass Valley sometime.
So
and
much
really
fun.
We'll get massages from her. We'll get healing analyses.
You don't have to ask me twice.
Okay.
Like, I think we're done here. Yeah, we're done.
All right, we're going. Bye-bye. Okay. Anyway, without further ado, let's introduce this guest for this week is Abby Pecorello.
Yes.
Abby has produced award-winning long and short content for Nickelodeon, Nick Jr., Disney, and Go Noodle, and has also founded various apps. She's made dozens of smart board lessons, a gaggle of video games, hundreds of super fun movement videos for a whole lot of... Does that say waffles?
It does.
A lot of waffles. She's overseen branding, editorial, product development, and marketing at several top kid entertainment companies. And she wrote Crafty Mama for Workman Publishing. When she's not making awesome interactive content for kids, she's dresses up as a hot dog and hangs out with her two nutty children, Lily and Sasha, and her fabulous husband, Mike. Go Noodle is a website with hundreds of streaming videos that get kids moving, running, jumping, stretching, dancing, wiggling throughout the school day, reaching over 10 million kids a month in schools. Wow, this yes. is very exciting. Welcome, Abby.
Hi.
So I want to tell everybody how we met. So first of all, so Abby and I met in a summer camp over the summer. She was so much fun that I'm not surprised at all that she's doing this amazing website, Go Noodle, and she's so much fun and a really funny story.
So wait, your kids were taking care of the household and you were at summer camp?
No, they were there too, please. Exactly. I wish
that
would be a
story.
That would be. But that was so much fun. Like, we had such a great time, and like, the people go back every year, and then like, Abby only went like, I think like 1 year, and I felt like naked without her after that, because you were just
I went like 4 or 5 years before you, but then my older daughter started to go to sleepaway camp, so we didn't go.
Right.
But we loved it. It's like a family camp, so everybody goes to camp. The kids, the parents, everybody does everything. It's amazing.
So
it's,
for our more local listeners, what is the camp called?
Sure, it's called Tyler Place.
Ah.
Yeah, it's in Vermont.
And oh, it's not local here to
California. No, it's not. Sorry, it's not in Los Angeles. Wow. No, it was when I was living on the East Coast. But what's even funnier, too, is so my husband, obviously, it's just funny. His name is David Miller, and then Abby's maiden name was Miller, and her dad is David Miller.
No way.
So she comes over, and she's like, hey, Dad. Like, it was so much fun. We had like a field
so
day
cute.
With that. Yeah. So anyway, back to you. So, yes, welcome. We're super excited to have you.
I'm happy to be here. Thank you for having me.
I want to know what this dress up like a hot dog is. What is that?
Oh, well, so I make the content for Go Noodle now. And one day I was with the guys from Cuckoo Kangaroo, who are this amazing band that we work with. They're in Minnesota. And we were shooting some stuff. And they're like, we need some other characters because we need some other people to be in this song, Popsico, which turned out to be like this insane breakout hit on Go Noodle. And, so I was like, all right, well, what are we going to wear? I'm like, I can't just wear this. I have, like, leggings and an Abercrombie hoodie on, you know? So we were at this old studio that this guy, Choo Choo Bob, used to shoot his, like, young preschool show in. And he had a costume closet, because that's where we were shooting. And I rummaged through the closet, and I found all these, like, weird things. And I'm like, I found a hot dog costume. I found a construction worker hat. And so I, of course, volunteered to get into the hot dog costume. And in that video, I'm a hot dog. And then I've reprised my role as the hot dog several times. And I've even gone to teacher events and to schools and, you know, anywhere I know where there's kids, I dress up as a hot dog. And I never knew what it was like to be famous. And I'm not famous by any means, but like, if you go into a class, you know, a Go Noodling school where they love Go Noodle, and you're dressed up as a hot dog, you feel like, you know,
you're the star.
Yes.
Like Gaga. Like, I was like the coolest, most desirable, most awesome person. People ask me for my autograph, and I'm like, oh my gosh, I missed my calling.
Then everybody wants to eat you, of course.
Yeah, well, the thing, I do have to make a note that I am a veggie dog.
I'm a
vegetarian.
So. Okay. It was so funny. I was going to say that. That is so funny. So
you probably remember, right? I call myself a tofu pup or a veggie dog or a not dog.
Not dog. What's so funny is last night I was hanging out with my older son and I was, you know, looking at your website, doing some research, and I was like, oh, you know, Remy. I was like, you know, let's go watch this new thing, Go Noodle. He's like, Go Noodle? He's like, oh my God, I love Go Noodle, Mom. I swear to God, I'm not making this up. I'm like, oh my God, you've done it in school? He's like, yeah, last year we did it. And then he started singing Kitty High Five. He knew, like, yes, I know, are you dying? And I'm not even kidding. And I was like, wait, what? And he's like, oh my God, it's so funny. This cat high fives a human. And he starts to tell me the whole thing. And so then I was like, oh my God, let's put it on. So we put it on. And now I cannot get it out of my head. Kitty High Five. Kitty, and so I just want you to know that, like, you've really, like, made an impact. I'm not kidding, like, and he would tell me, like, oh, I don't like it, or I mean, he's an honest dude, so you did well,
right?
So tell us more about
No, Kitty High Five. I wrote that song.
No.
It was one of, it was one of my first, we call them awesome sauce, these like weird songs that are about nothing, but like things like cats high-fiving and disco brains. And since then we've done Doggy High Five, and then just this week we released Baby High Five, because a teacher wrote in and she said, my class, Miss Sheena's kindergarten class from Quebec, really thought it would be great to have a baby high five. And I was like, yes, Miss Sheena, I agree. And so I wrote Baby High Five, and now babies. I posted in our community group on Facebook, hey, anybody want to be in a video? Post a video of your baby high-fiving, you or a loved one. And so we just released that video.
That's incredible.
Can you sing one of them? Can I put you on the spot and have you sing one?
Oh, sure. My goodness. Well, I don't, hold on. I don't, you know, it's like so funny that how I like don't know all the lyrics, even though I wrote it and everything. But the chorus is, kitty high five, cook a kitty high five, kitty high five, give a kitty high five. The cat had a mustache, give your nose a high five. The cat hid in a boot, give your shoe a high five. The cat bugged its eyes out, give the floor a high five. The cat typed a memo, give your stomach a high five. Oh, kitty high five. That's how it goes.
So it's like basically like you're moving. You know what I mean? So it's like the whole purpose is like to move. So give high five. You're like watching the video and you're like doing the movements. So So I'm super, super impressed with this company because oh my God, I feel like kids really, really need it. So I was wondering if you could give for our listeners basically a little background about what Go Noodle is, just because if people haven't seen it, they have no idea what we're talking about.
Yeah. Okay. So Go Noodle is a free website, gonoodle.com, and teachers fire it up in the classroom, and they either project it onto a smart board, an interactive whiteboard, or from a projector, you know, to a wall. And it has hundreds of movement videos and video games that give kids a very needed brain break throughout the day. Mm-hmm. So it can channel your classroom energy if your kids are like sleepy. It can wake them up. If your kids are bouncing off the walls, it can calm them down. If your kids are stressed, it can help focus them and relax them. We have all different types of videos on Go Noodle, and you just kind of play the one that meets your classroom's needs at that time. Some teachers just use it as a reward. Some teachers use it throughout the day. We have mindfulness exercises, and a lot of teachers like to start off the day by setting an intention, and we have these wonderful, like, beautiful meditated intention videos. Some teachers, you know, in between a lesson or if their kids are kind of fading, they're like, okay, let's get up and sing Peanut Butter in a Cup. They get up, and it reinvigorates the kids. And it's great. We are in 3 out of 4 schools in the U.S., reach over 10 million kids a month.
Wow.
And it's just really easy and really fun. I mean, I always say, you know, I've worked at Nickelodeon and all these places, and I care so much about kids. And, of course, I put my everything into making the content. But my big joke is, like, really, how great does it need to be? You know, my competition is long division and adjectives. it's the most success I've ever had at anything because, you know, what would you rather do? Give your foot a high five,
exactly.
Or would you rather have to learn about, you know, the battle of Lexington and Concord?
Yes, exactly. It's so true.
Oh my gosh. What age range is the content geared toward?
We go K-8. We really try to make songs and videos that are accessible, even though that's an insanely huge age range, especially, you know, a kindergarten or a six-year-old is very different than an eighth grader who can be 14. Right. But we try to really make stuff that works on some level for everyone. You know, we kind of try to borrow that, like, you know, Disney has like that sensibility where it can kind of cut through and hit people where they are.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what we try to do. We make some videos that are like easier and slower for kindergartners and some that are more aerobic and cardio focused for eighth graders. But we generally try to make things that work for that whole age span.
It's interesting because teenagers obviously are too cool for this, but I would imagine that parents would love this content just as much as the kids do.
I'm telling you, that song stuck in my head. I heard it one time.
It's
you
awesome.
Did such a great time. I'm serious.
Some kids, so we don't do any help, you know, we grew very organically, very quickly because we are, you know, besides YouTube where you can find a whole lot of videos that you can put on for your kids in the classroom,
yeah.
We really don't have competition for movement or activity breaks throughout the day. So we're free, so that's always a good thing because teachers are always strapped for resources.
Yes.
So we grew very quickly, very organically. We paid no marketing, we have no commercials, we have no nothing. We're very light on social media. We're on Instagram and Twitter and Facebook, but we're not like, you know, publishing 8 tweets a day and 42 Facebook posts. Like, but one teacher, it's a very, you know, the teacher community, that teacher tribe, they're very tight and they're very resourceful and they're really connected. And if a teacher finds something awesome that works for her class that's free, he or she really wants to tell people about it. So a lot of teachers just did the marketing work for us, and we're so grateful to teachers. They're the most amazing people in the world. And they would post on their own blogs. They would tell parents about us. They would tell other teachers or their principal in the school, so the entire school would start to use it. And, you know, they told two friends and so on and so on and so on. So it just, we went from having 2,000 people to having 10,000 people to having 50,000 people to having 10 million people.
That's
like, it just... We have only been out there for about 2.5 years, which is insane.
Yes.
It just has organically grown. And then kids love it, so they go home and they set up a free account for themselves at home.
Yep.
So we haven't told anybody to do anything, but we have like 4 million kids that have signed up at home.
Oh, my God. That's
this
amazing.
Is amazing.
So how do you get funding? That's my question. Like, advertising?
Yeah, that's a good question. So we have a premium service that we don't really advertise. We don't try to upsell any of our free users to, but it's called Go Noodle Plus. And Go Noodle Plus is an awesome extension of Go Noodle. We have a lot of games that are Common Core aligned. So there's a game called Mega Math Marathon and a game called Word Jam. And not only do these games have content baked in, but teachers can also plug in their own content. So whatever you're learning, whatever grade level, wherever you're at, teachers can put in their own content in these highly customizable, really fun, aerobic, kid-aesthetic learning games.
This is so cool.
We have partnered. We have like local and regional sponsorships through hospitals and healthcare companies, and they pay to underwrite different districts or different communities, or even in the case of Tennessee, Blue Cross Blue Shield of Tennessee underwrites all of Tennessee to have Go Noodle Plus. And these people are so generous and wonderful that they help fund the rest of the content that we have on Go Noodle.
This is incredible.
Wow.
I love this. This is so cool.
What inspired this idea for you, Abby? Because you're the one who designed this all, huh?
I made all of the content, but there are wonderful people, Scott McQuigg and John Herbold and Aaron Briggs. They all worked, it started as a company called Health Teacher before Go Noodle. And Health Teacher had, they sold downloadable health education content into schools. PDFs, just the curriculum, right? Lesson plans, whatever. And you could download an entire year, an entire grade, or just one lesson on disease prevention or bike safety, whatever it is. And that's where a lot of their amazing partnerships started with the healthcare companies and the hospitals. And we started to, they had started to see that kinesthetic learning was big and movement was big. So they just wanted to do a test on, all right, what is it like if we create movement content? And I had been working with them, creating some movement content in these smart board lessons that I was making. So I started with them to create this pilot for Go Noodle. We just had 4 different experiences. Maximo, who did stretching, and Clucky, who did dancing. And we had a deep breathing game called Airtime. And we had a game that was with the U.S. Track and Field Association called Run With Us, and it was like a fun running game where you did all the different track and field events that are in the Olympics. And we just piloted it, and I created all that content for them, and then it just was gangbusters. You know, we had a couple inns in schools that were buying our curriculum, so we said, hey, by the way, we have this new free product, try it out. And that's when, like, you know, wildfire, it started to spread and it started to take off, and we realized this is amazing and nobody else is doing this. And just the feedback from teachers was like, this is what I need, thank you so much, my school blocks YouTube, this is so amazing, I can't believe it's free, you guys are the greatest.
Well, I was gonna say, do you have any ideas as like What's the best response from teachers? Is it from, it sounds like it's from other teachers, but is it from parents also? Like, oh, I heard about this amazing new, because I want to implement it in every possible classroom that my son's in. And I'm not kidding. So I need to strategize and figure out sort of the best way to get this in there.
Right. You know, everybody finds something different in it that works for them or for their classroom. I will say, you know, when I worked at Nickelodeon for years, I never really saw the feedback, right? Nickelodeon is huge and they get tons of feedback. I don't know where it goes or who gets it. It never got forwarded to me. Uh-huh. But the beautiful thing about working at GoNoodle, it's still like, you know, it's kind of a startup. It's a small company. It's based in Nashville. Even though I live in New York, I just go to Nashville like every 6 weeks.
Oh.
And I just telecommute every day. And just the feedback comes in, and we work off of this like work platform called Slack, so we can all kind of IM each other and create groups and keep track of it. And
oh, cool.
It's this really good like business portal platform that people use for communication. And we have a channel called User Comments, and just every day there's like hundreds of them flow in that come from different channels, whether it's social media or people write in, or we have a user voice tell us what you think, or they just get our email and send us an email. And depending on what their classroom needs, that's what they write about, right? Like, my kids are always tired after lunch, and you have the perfect pickup. Like, I have one child in my class who didn't speak all year, but then he listened to Mr. Catman, and he connected with him. So he puts on a cat mask, and he leads the exercises, and he's thriving, and now can do things that he could never do before. Like, it just touches people on many different levels and just speaks to what their needs are in the classroom. A lot of teachers use it as a reward, and it's very motivational.
Yep.
A lot, you know, with the state testing now, I made a song called Take a Breath, which is about like doing your best on a test, take a breath. And a lot of teachers are like, this is amazing. My kids were so stressed out about the test, and now we play that video, and they feel so calm, and they feel so amazing. It's like,
wow.
You don't get to see these like real-time results about how you're affecting people usually, but in GoNoodle, you do. So that's very rewarding.
So you literally can think of the jingle. Like, that's your job to like think of the melody and everything like that, or do you just write the words and somebody else? Like, how does that go? How's that work?
So I'll tell you for Kitty High Five and for most of those awesome soft songs how I do those. We are small. We are a small company in Tennessee. We don't have big budgets, nothing like anything that I've ever worked on before. And so I needed to make cheap videos. We wanted to create a lot of content because, you know, kids and teachers, they're insatiable. You know, like our competition is YouTube, and the videos and the opportunities are endless there.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So I was like, okay, so I went to a stock video site, and I just searched funny videos. I went to Shutterstock.com, funny videos, and I saw that cat high-fiving video with, you know, $49. Uh-huh. I was like, that's funny. I'm going to write a song about cats high-fiving. And then I was like, kitty high-five, and then I started, like, singing it to myself. Okay, this is what it's going to sound like. All right, this is what it's going to be. And I sing it into my iPhone. Actually, my daughters helped me sing that one into my iPhone, which is funny. Uh-huh. And I have them all still on my iPhone. And then I send it to this amazing guy, Nick Balaban, who takes my... I have no degree in music. I have no idea what I'm doing. I don't know if I'm, like, defying octaves or harmony or, like, breaking every musical rule. And he then converts it into a really, really good song. And I write out the lyrics, but I give him the inspiration for the melody and how I want it sung and how it should be sounding. And he converts it into something real.
That
is
incredible.
Awesome.
But you're so creative. Like, I am not surprised at all you're doing so well. Like, I mean, the moment I met you, I was like, this girl's so amazingly creative. Like, you just do so much. That's just amazing.
I wonder, Abby, is there any particular time of the day or area or place or something that you're doing that inspires, that becomes the muse for your creativity? Or is it just a nonstop, all the time blast in your head?
I think it's a nonstop, all the time blast. But it's, well, so the seasons play into it, like different holidays. So I'm always like, oh, I have to do a song for April Fool's Day and for Leap Day and for Halloween and for Valentine's Day. So always want to kind of hit kids up with something awesome for the different holidays that are coming up. And then also I think about, like, what's hot in kids' lives. You know, I have two kids, so, you know, they're really into all the Silento, you know, the Whip Nae Nae, and they like I Heart Memphis and D-Lo, play like all those Bet You Can't Do It Like Me challenge, all that kind of like new funky kind of street music. And so Lean and Dab is really big. So I'm like, oh, I have to do something with dabbing now. Dabbing is really hot. Or I'll just kind of look around. My daughter loves YouTube, so sometimes I'll see something that's inspired on YouTube. And then I do have also a content roadmap. So I'm like, ooh, we need more we need more mindfulness videos, mm-hmm. or what's really missing are some sports videos. We don't really have a lot of sports content for kids, and I'd really like to create more of that. Or I just did these educational videos. A lot of teachers will write in what they want, and they all want educational videos. So I just created this rap group called Nerdy by Nature, and we did like 10 really funky rap songs with them that are really amazing that they're going to premiere in the fall.
Oh, wow, how cute.
But yeah, I guess there's like some strategy and then some the randomness of my brain.
Sure.
And I imagine that they're void of a lot of curse words and degradation of women, et cetera, in the rap.
Of course.
There's no curse word. I know, I believe. Well, they always make fun of me because I'm like, can I just have some fart or burp? And I know the answer. And they're like, no. I'm like, can they just like wiggle their butt? Can they say booty? But I know the answer. It's no. I mean, because they're in school. Nickelodeon gets away with more because they're at home.
Sure.
But I'm very respectful of like, you know, what's going to play well in a school. So I try to get all my burping and farting and booty shaking out, you know, in my spirit.
But it's so refreshing. I mean, I've never heard of clean rap before. I love it.
Oh, that's so true.
You know? Yeah. Yeah. How cute is that? Hey, I wonder, is there any really cool story behind the name Go Noodle? Like, who came up with Go Noodle? Was somebody just sitting around the dinner table and said, let's just call this Go Noodle?
Yeah, how did that come about?
I'm not sure. It's so funny because I was, like, working on it, making all the content and working with them, and then the guys from Nashville came to meet me in New York, and I had a meeting, and they're like, we're thinking we're going to call it Go Noodle. I was like, all right. So I don't know why they named it Go Noodle. I think it was, like, Go was active, and Noodle was like,
Floppy.
You noodle on something, you move around. I'm not sure. They used to have like a little speedy brain dude. Maybe they thought your brain seemed like noodles. I'm not sure. I should find out about that.
So I have a question for you for the listeners out there who maybe just want like a quick, a quick direction. So if you could name maybe a video that, you know, your kids are being lazy and you want to get them activated, you know, what video you'd recommend? And then same for like if you need them to calm down, maybe a couple of your favorites that you would recommend or in classrooms too.
So if you want your kids to, I'll work backwards. If you want your kids to calm down, we have, like, really nice yoga videos, like, yoga and stretching videos. For the younger kids, they like Maximo.
Okay.
And he's this animated 3D monkey, and he's Spanish, kind of like Antonio Banderas. And he does these, like, fun, calming yogas with this calming movement. And we always have, like, hashtag Maximo Monday. People like to do them on Mondays. Uh-huh. And he's really good to like, calm your younger kids down. And then older kids, they can calm down. We have a really nice set of yoga videos for older kids called Empower Tools, and each one teaches you a yoga pose but also like puts a tool in your tool belt to help you in a scenario or a situation, like kind of the moves are tied towards experiences, whether it's frustration or focus or feeling powerful, so different yoga moves that are tied with these amazing like philosophies and empowering skills that you can have, and then you can kind of channel those later in the day when you need them. So those are really nice videos. If you want to kind of perk your kids up, well, we have a partnership with Kids Bop, and they're really awesome. And we have a lot of they have dance along, move along songs, just like, you know, Just Dance, if you would see Just Dance, but with the awesome Kids Bop kids. And they sing Break Free and Cheerleader and the Cupid Shuffle and Love Runs Out, Best Day of My Life. Like, they sing all pop hits, and they're wonderful, and a lot of kids really like them. And those, they've taken the lyrics and made them very clean for those pop songs, and they reenact them. They're high energy, they're really fun, and they get your kids up and moving. Then we have Cuckoo Kangaroo, who I mentioned earlier. They're just like really silly, so some kids feel like they don't want to dance, maybe they're a little shy or self-conscious about their body. So Cuckoo Kangaroo are these two like big juicy dudes from Minnesota, where everybody's like over 6'2". Every time I go there, I feel like a leprechaun, like this Lilliputian, and they're goofy. So you're moving along with them, and they're doing like kind of dance style moves, but they're not dancing. Like Kids Bop kids are dancing, and we have a partnership with Zumba, and you're dancing. But Go Noodle, you're like kind of doing silly, funny movements along. They can really energize you. And then Awesome Sauce is just pure silliness. You know,
yes.
You dance along with a skeleton or with a heart or with cats high-fiving or babies high-fiving or a disco brain. That's just super, super, super silly.
I love it. I love this.
You know what's so funny is that it, you know, this is the kid version of the adults falling in love with the show Seinfeld, which was about nothing. Right?
All the kids getting credit.
About nothing.
Yes.
And it was the best show.
Yes. That's such
hysterical.
A good point.
So it's so, I mean, sometimes we take ourselves too seriously.
Yes.
And the things that make us laugh are the things that are just ridiculous.
Ridiculous.
And harmless. Right? Right? Ridiculous and harmless together is hysterical.
Well, it's so funny because today I literally was watching a video about a raccoon. There was like two boys in Africa petting a raccoon, and then they stopped and he put his hand on his back like, keep going, you know? And so they did it again and they stopped and then he did it again. And I was like hysterical. Like you would have thought it was like Chris Rock. Like I was like laughing.
Right.
You know what I mean? And it's like, it's just, it's so dumb, but it's funny. It's like, we need that, you know?
I think on some level, all of us just want simplicity and love, right? And if something makes us laugh, it's a version of love.
That's so true.
So, so sweet.
Yeah. Joy.
You know, I'm so curious just to take us a little off of Go Noodle, even though there's some more questions to ask, just because you're such a creative person, Abby. I'm wondering for all of our listeners out there who are shy about their creativity or don't know how to sort of address that or bring that to fruition, do you have some tips on helping people to sort of get that moving? I know for me, the best thing that I do for my creativity is to just do something without judgment and without criticism. Like when I write, writing inspires more writing, inspires more writing. But when you get skittish about that, then it's so hard to break free from that. Any tips on that?
You know, well, my greatest asset and my biggest issue is I have no filter. So I never really, like you said, like I never stop myself. I'm like, let me just think of this. This would be stupid. This would be weird. Like,
yeah.
I try not to let anything get in my way, any of my own judgment or what other people think. I just like, I don't know, what do I think is funny and what would make me laugh and what is like good and funny and just, I think a lot of people do get analysis paralysis, right? Like, they're like, it's not going to be good. I'm not a writer. I'm not a this. Mm-hmm. Neither, I mean, I majored in French. What do I know? What am I doing? You know, you just have to believe in it and just really put your heart into it. I think why the content that I make is good, I put my heart into it. I do. I love kids. I always work in kids' entertainment. I have kids. I'm like was a camp counselor. I live for my nieces and nephews, and I just put my heart into what I do, and I just really want to make kids happy and smile. So think about myself, and then I think about who I'm doing it for, and how can I make them feel good. And I don't censor myself or limit myself or stop myself. And sometimes I fail. Sometimes I'm like, oh, that was bad, but I don't care. Like you know what? So what? Who cares? You know? All right. I'll do it again.
Sure.
That wasn't my best piece of work. All right. Everything, you know, every meal you eat isn't your best meal, and every night sleep you get isn't your best night's sleep. So don't be like the variance in whatever you're producing, but you'll get to it. Just don't censor yourself.
I love that because I'm hearing a lot of just risk taking, you know, just go for it. And it's so true. Like, I mean, if you think about it, all the great people who've made success in this world, I mean, they're risk takers. You know what I mean? They were just willing to sort of push the envelope and just go for it and not really care about, you know, what other people thought. So I love that.
I think young children are our best example, right? When you give some crayons and a piece of paper to a 3-year-old who has not been censored by their parents and let them just do whatever, they are giggling and laughing and having fun and just doing whatever and just so admiring their own work.
Well, and
until they learn, that's outside of the line, of and course. Don't do that, and you got to fill that in that way.
Unless you have my son, who's like, "Oh, it's so fun to do it on the table now." You know what I mean? Like, forget the paper, screw the paper. Like, let me just draw it here, or the back of the couch is a perfect canvas.
It's a perfect canvas, of course. Oh my gosh, Abby, are your kids creative as well? I mean, all kids are creative, but are they particularly?
They are. My older daughter is a dancer. She used to be a gymnast, and now she's a dancer. But she likes, you know, she's creative. She's funny. She's really funny. She inherited my lack of filter.
Yes.
I guess it's genetic. It's like some piece of her that's missing. And she's funny. She's fearless. She is fearless.
Really?
She will, like, do anything, wear anything, whatever. My younger daughter is very creative and very talented, but she really does censor herself. I think she's like an introvert living in a very extroverted family. So she sees my husband, who's goofy, and Lily, who's you know, fearless and me.
Uh-huh.
And I think she wants to be there, but it's so hard for her to go there. She really censors herself so much, and it makes me so upset. I'm always like, who cares? You know, today was cap day, and I'm like, oh, we have this hat. It's a hamburger, and we have this hat. It's got... it's like a Thor hat that has two horns on it, and we got this hat, it's a hot dog from Nathan's, and she's like, I'm not wearing those. But my other daughter would be like wearing that and like go to school naked, like she just wouldn't care. She is creative, she loves to make movies, she likes to make YouTube movies and YouTube stuff. I think she feels better
behind the scenes. That's what it sounds like. Exactly. Wait, who was Lily, your older one, the one who dressed up as Kim Kardashian?
Yes.
That was incredible. I'm going to have to show Dr. Deborah after the show.
Wait.
I mean, it was the best, hands down, Halloween costume I have ever seen. And I am the biggest Halloween snob there is. It's my favorite holiday. And I, like, could not believe it. It was incredible. Did you design that? I mean, that was just outstanding.
I did. Well, you know, and that's her. Like, she actually had a bat mitzvah on that day. And she said to her friend, she's like, what should I be? And her friend, who was getting bat mitzvah, she's like, be Kim Kardashian. She was like, okay. Like, she's not like, no, I can't. Okay. So she's like, Mom, I got to be Kim Kardashian. What do? And I'm like, oh, you're so Kim Kardashian. Break the internet. And her hair is like bright red, but we spray painted it black and put it in a bun.
Uh-huh.
And then we like sewed a big pillow into her butt, and I hot glued a champagne glass onto it. She just was like, she'd go out. But my other daughter, she didn't want me to make up. She just doesn't like to draw attention to herself.
Yeah.
So she like bought a costume that was like a huntress, and then she didn't really want to wear it. We went to the bat mitzvah, and she's like, everybody loves Lily's costume. I'm like, because it's amazing. And then she's like, nobody knows who I am. I'm like, because you won't carry your bow and arrow. Like,
right.
You just gotta go for it.
Yeah,
how old is your younger one?
She just turned 10.
You know, what's interesting is my daughter was a seriously shy and introverted young girl and didn't want to have anything to do with anything that would expose herself. And slowly but surely, with encouragement and being more outside the house in her teenage years, because I also have sort of a big personality, she came more alive that way when she got into drama and she did these other things. And now she has no self-consciousness.
Oh, really?
In that way.
Yeah,
so she's really, really changed. So, but I think sometimes when, like you're saying, Abby, that you have a big household in that way, that she may just be intimidated, and some kids will develop sort of a counter identity until they're able to kind of go out and spread their wings and find it on their own.
That's an interesting
perspective. I think you're right. I think that, you know, I always tell her, she always wants to be in plays, and she always wants to like be in the star, but she won't, she just is so afraid of trying. She doesn't want to try because she doesn't want to not be good. But I'm like, even if you sang, you were like, and had a terrible voice, you would be trying, and people would see your passion, and you would be good. But I think you're right. I think she needs to, like, experience that and discover that on her own. I tell her it, like, every day. She does have a beautiful voice, and she's so talented, but she censors herself.
Right? Yeah. It is funny, because, like, my older son is pretty shy, and my younger one is, like, the biggest ham on the planet. So it is sort of funny. It's like they're, you know, from the same, you know, egg and sperm, so to speak, and then, like, they're just totally different. It is kind of funny.
There you go with your sperm and eggs again. And now, did you have your dog out of your vagina again?
So, Abby, I don't know if you know this, but my dog is my only vaginal birth, which I mention all the time. So Deborah thinks it's, like, because he's the best. He's the best one. I was literally about to say, like, and my dog has a really quiet personality, as if, like, he's really within the...
Of course.
Siblings.
I think he came from the egg and sperm.
Yes, exactly. Let me tell you about him. And so funny.
So funny. So, Abby, it would be really helpful, too, if we can jump back to Go Noodle for a second and tell us about how Go Noodle can be used in classrooms with special needs kids.
So we get so much great feedback from teachers who work with special needs kids. I mean, they use it the same way as typical kids do. They just put it on to get the wiggles out. I actually just saw this most amazing documentary called Spectrum of Hope, and there is a cluster of schools here in New York City called P94M, and they exist within other schools. They're like District 75. I believe that's like a special education district in the school. So this P94M, they have at least eight sites in different schools throughout the city, and they're a performing arts-based school for special needs kids. And every year they put on plays, they do everything through music and dance and song and art, and it's amazing. And I watched this documentary called Spectrum of Hope, where these kids were invited to JTF, the Junior Theater Festival, mm-hmm. where like middle schools and tween and teen theater companies come and all perform. It's a big convention in Atlanta. There's like 4,000 people there. And every year, this school, they put on a different musical, and they were putting on Aladdin, and they competed with all these typical kids in this. And it was amazing to see how, like, when they were given music and given dance and song and direction, how focused they could be and how on point they could be and how great it kind of helped shape them. And mm-hmm. they had all these neurologists in the documentary talking about how song and music and movement and guided movement and dance really can stimulate something in these kids. And I think that's probably what Go Noodle does for them. It just mm-hmm. it stimulates them, it stimulates their mind, their activity, it calms them down, it gets them moving. I mean, so I think teachers just probably use it potentially more frequently in a specialized classroom because, you know, you get up and you get the ants out of your hands. And I think that helps anybody.
My son once said to me in kindergarten when he saw your Go Noodle, which was, you know, last year, and he said, "Mom, sometimes I just feel like I can't help it. I have to move." And it was like, you know, it was like it was him coming to terms with the fact, like, this is who I am. Like, I can't stop it, you know. And I think there are a lot of kids like that who just, I mean, I get that way. I mean, think about it. Like, if you're just sitting all day, it's like you need to stretch, you need to get up, you need that brain break, as you call it. I mean, it's so true. It kind of, like, you know, stimulates you to think more clearly.
And haven't they also removed a lot of the physical education component of public school?
It's crazy.
Which is so tragic. I mean, it used to be there was an hour of every day.
Yes.
Now it's like sometimes it's twice a week minutes twice a week or something. It's terrible.
We have, in our school, it's once a week PE, and then I think they have recess, and it's only like 20 minutes. Wow. I mean, they have to have their snack before. So my son is like scarfing down his meal. Like, he said to me, like, "Mom, you know, don't pack me a big snack because then I get less time to play, because they have to finish their snack." So, like, he's, like, you know, intravenously feeding himself, and then, you know, then he can go run and play.
And so, we are one of the most sedentary cultures out here. It's just terrible. So I just love this, that
me
it
too.
Encourages children to move. How fun. And this is, like, in the classroom.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, it's great. We also created, because of inclement weather and everything, we created these indoor recesses, these mega mixes that are long for, you know, if you're stuck inside for recesses, if it's raining or if it's freezing or if it's snowing,
do
it in the gym, in the cafeteria, in your classroom, and there are these 20-minute mega mixes, putting it together so kids can kind of get up and move. I mean, the worst thing is, like, if your kid does not have a recess and they can't go outside and play, and, you know, sometimes they get stuck in a auditorium and they're watching a movie and everybody's shushing them. They're not allowed to talk. They get back into class, and we've heard from thousands of teachers, they're a hot mess. These kids are, like, disastrous. Like, they need to get it out.
Mm-hmm.
So we just kind of help them kind of get those ants out of their pants all throughout the day and hopefully encourage a love for moving. You know, a lot of people, you know, some kids are not sports oriented and they're intimidated by it, and they're like, "I'm not athletic, I'm not a dancer, I'm not graceful," but there are a million different ways to move. You don't have to be the captain of the basketball team, and you don't have to be ballerina to be moving. You just need to get up and move your body, and it, you know, there's no right or wrong way to do it, and so many different ways to move. So we've gotten some nice feedback that it exposed kids to just movement, you know, not necessarily like this perfection of movement and this athletic movement.
Well, I was going to say, I mean, what's so beautiful about Go Noodle is it's not intimidating at all. Like, I feel like it's so, it's not like a, you know, an aerobics class where you, like, feel like you have to, like, keep up. I mean, it's so easy and relaxed and fun. You almost, like, forget that you're moving. So I think you did a really great job with that.
This reminds me of my favorite Yiddish word, spilkas.
Spilkas.
Oh,
that's ants in the pants, isn't
spilkas
it?
Spilkas is ants in the pants. I remember my dad always used to say, "Deborah, do you have spilkas?" I said, "What's that, Dad?" "Oh, ants in your pants." "Yes, I have ants in my pants." Don't we all have ants in our pants?
Yes, we all do. I have it all the time.
Oh, my gosh. I know. I'm the queen of ants in my pants. I know. It's good. You know, my daughter was in a class with this boy, and he's great. And he has a brother who's in my older daughter's class. And I watched the older brother have a lot of issues throughout school and always being told to sit and conform and whatever, and he just couldn't. And then when his younger brother was in Sasha's class for the first time, I noticed that the teacher, like, let him stand up and wander the whole class, the whole time he was in class. He would raise his hand. He'd be, like, 27. He would know the answer. He was 100% paying attention, but he just couldn't sit. And he is, like, definitely a more well-adjusted kid because somebody just let him be who he was organically. He was not disruptive. He was, if you made him sit, he was disruptive. If you let him walk around, he was fabulous. He did not interrupt the class, disrupt, and he was participated. It was amazing. It was really interesting to see how these two kids were treated differently and kind of how they felt about themselves and you know, I don't know, how they were empowered to differently.
And they've done...
Oh, I was just going to say, when I used to work in classrooms with learning disabled, emotionally disturbed kids in special school settings, and I would be like the counselor with the teacher, and therapy was done on the basketball court, on swing sets, in walks, taking parks, because these kids could not just sit in the room and just talk about their issues, but they would become so lively about their emotional expressions when we'd be out playing games in the world.
Like moving.
Yeah.
They've done studies. I just read a study that showed that kids who fidget, I mean, some kids, that really helps them learn. Like, and I think a lot of teachers are like, stop doing that. You know, stop fidgeting and, like, stop moving. And it's like, you know, some kids, like, need that to learn. It's almost like some people have to doodle when they're writing notes. It's sort of like something with the brain.
Right.
Yeah. You know, that's so... Go ahead, Abby.
Yeah.
Oh, there are so many studies, you know, with this kinesthetic learning, these educational songs that we did, they were really based on all these studies of kinesthetic learning, that when you're moving and you learn something, you learn it better. It's like more impressed upon your brain. Like your brain, you know, when your body moves, it stimulates your brain activity and its ability to absorb what you're doing. And so we did all these songs, and we tried to make your body move like what you were learning, to even, like, take it one step further. So we have a song called Lines and Angles, and you're moving your arms in lines and angles and parallel lines and perpendicular lines and making right angles with your arms. And my daughter just took those state tests last week, and she's like, I don't know angles. We didn't even go over this. So I was like, I'm going to play you the song. And then she's like, making these angles. She's like, I got it. I know. I just one arm's up, one arm's to the side. That's a right angle. Okay, I make it smaller, like a right angle got stepped on by a boot, a cute. And then it's a smaller than 90 degrees. And then a tooth is, you know, more than 180 degrees. And she knew how to make the angles. And she's like, they were on the chest, and I knew it. Because they sang a song once. I mean, she memorized the lyrics to every song that she hears.
That is awesome.
Know?
That's incredible. An awesome story. Abby, Miss Abby Pecorello from GoNoodle.com, we're going to have to say goodbye to you in just a moment. Any last parting words for our listeners?
Oh, my goodness.
I know. Talk about pressure. Exactly. Yeah, talk about pressure.
To us blather for an hour, and I really appreciate being on your show, and I hope you check out Go Noodle and move and groove along to the...
He
is there.
Yes. Thank you so much for what you do. Really, from my personal, like, heart, I think this is so incredibly wonderful. And I know my son, like, I mean, my younger one, too, he's, you know, he's little, but I mean, my older one, like, this is, like, tailored for him. Like, I felt like you went into his mind. You're like, what could be the best thing for this kid? You know, like, I mean, so I'm so supportive of your company and just continue to do the great work that you do.
And Abby, I love your energy.
Yes.
It's so much fun to have on the show. Oh, I have one quick last question. Do your kids ever look at you with the content and go, Mother, that's terrible. How did you come up with that?
Thank you. They're very, but yeah, like I said, they neither of them have the filter. My husband has such a filter. I don't know why nobody got his change. He's like the beginning of the filters. Thank you. Well, I ask them. I'm always like, which one do you like better? Do you like
that's
this?
Good.
Do you like that? And sometimes, but, you know, sometimes they're like, no, that's terrible. I hate that. So they'll tell me. I will change things. I listen to them. I call it my focus group of two.
That's
I'm like,
great.
Well, I was talking to my focus group, they said. I normally do turn to them, and they help me, and they inspire me. And I think they secretly like it, because I hear them sing it, and they always want to, like, sing it or be a part of it. They're like, can we be in that video? You know.
Oh, how fun. Oh, so thank you again.
Yeah, thank you so much, Abby.
Abby Pecorello with GoNoodle.com. Go ahead and check that out. Wow, Kelly, I can't believe that show just went like...
I know, that was...
Oh, my God, like a blink of an
eye. Don't you feel like she has so much energy? Like, I almost want to move right now.
She's
like,
adorable. I know. Yeah. I want to just, like, dance. And I'm going to go watch them. I got Schmelkas. Okay. So next week, we have an amazing guest as well. We just have amazing guest after amazing guest.
I'm so excited.
We're actually having Tanya Brown, who is the author of Finding Peace Among the Chaos, and she is the sister sister of Nicole Brown Simpson. So she's going to graciously come on our show and share about her journey in life and some of the struggles that she's had. So make sure you tune in. Make sure you check out our website as we speak. Some new and exciting changes are being made. So go to Doc and Therapist at docandtherapist.com.
And then our Twitter's is DocTherapist1.
Yeah, D-O-C. That's how you spell doctor and spelled out D-O-C and therapist.com. Thanks for listening.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
You're listening to the Dr. Deborah and Therapist Kelly Show, only on LA Talk Radio.